Hoe geef je richting aan verandering? Hoe maak je impact met visie, leiderschap en innovatie? Je hoort het op het podcastkanaal New Business Radio. Listen today, lead tomorrow. Hier vind je al onze programma's voor business shapers. Met gesprekken met leiders, ondernemers en vernieuwers die hun organisatie klaarmaken voor de volgende sprong. Check je favoriete podcastplatform en abonneer je op New Business Radio. Listen today, lead tomorrow. Leiderschap, leren, inzetbaarheid en inclusie. De laatste inzichten hoor je in People Power.
Most organizations have a beautiful learning portal. All the trainings and e-learnings have been carefully selected to make sure only the best is offered to colleagues. But most HR professionals have the same challenge. How do we stimulate, inspire and motivate our people to start learning? How do we create an appetite for learning? Three experts are here to help you in solving this tough problem. Marie-Véronique Bernard is here. She's Head of Human Resources at Basic Fit. Hernan Rijn, Global Human Resources Director at Vopak. And Rico Alchio is here, the CEO at Seppo. Great to have you all here in our podcast. Well, I have a lot of interviews with a lot of HR people, and this is one of the key questions. We have all the stuff, we have all the learnings, and everything's in place with this great portal. But the people who are already were learning are still learning. They're learning maybe more, but the people who are not learning from out of their own motivation are still not learning. So how do we create an appetite for learning? Starting with you, Marie-Véronique, how do you do that?
Hi, Glenn. Thank you for launching the question to me. I think the appetite for learning is combined with several elements, and one goes first with your culture. Are you a culture that is curious? Are you a culture that value learning, but also new ideas, new opinion? I think that goes hand in hand. If I look also at when training is successful, is when we allowed our people to have enough time to dig deeper into learning and have the space for that moment for themselves to really take a moment and really learn.
How did you do that? Because that's one of the problems that maybe people want to learn, but they feel that there's a barrier between them, namely time, stuff to do, a lot of work. So it's priority number 10 on the list.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's also the way we see learning, and a lot of time it's very static way to see learning, and it's very transactional towards, for example, in e-learning, and then you sit in front of a computer, so you will receive training done from an external provider. But there's several ways to learn. There's one with exchanging with colleagues. There's one with just even having students with you. They bring in the other perspective. There's the fact that going to an event like today where you meet new colleagues. It's a fact that sometimes learning is very limited to receiving and being in a classroom. So, yeah.
So it's also maybe the perspective on what is learning in the first place to see if you can create an appetite for learning.
Absolutely.
All right. So Hernan, how do you do that at Vopak? Or don't you have the problem maybe?
There's not an issue.
Okay.
Have the same challenge that every other company most probably faces. I think there are a few things that it's good to understand. One, it's important to separate a learning culture from a learning tool. And I think that the tools are a little bit overwhelming nowadays. Okay, at the end, information is available for everybody, everywhere. Eh? You just need the tool called Google, and you can find it. So the problem is not for people to find
everything's
information.
On YouTube.
Mm. Everything is there. It's how to get information that is useful for them. And maybe our challenge as companies is how to put that in front of them. Again, not offering everything universally so that people are a little bit crazy trying to pick and choose, and then don't pick and choose anything because it's too much or the wrong thing. So there are a few, I think, tricks that we can do there. One has to do with certificate people. You know, when you use learning as certification to do a certain job, that's attractive because it allows you to do certain tasks that sometimes is needed, because otherwise you cannot execute those tasks. You want to get updated in a topic because you want to keep your certification. So having some type of internal certification around certain topics makes the learning targeted and attractive. And also people can know that, if I want to on coding or on safety or in legal aspects, okay, are good examples where you can do that.
Well, it's very interesting because it's almost like there are two types of looking at learning. So you, on the one hand, you have HR people that said, well, people want to learn, so all that we have to do is just provide them with all the tools and make sure that all the barriers are as low as possible, and then people will learn. And you have the other side of HR people that say, no, we have to make sure that it's useful to learn. So we have to invest in the learning culture, or in your case, we just have to create something and we call it a certificate. So, and you need it to do your job. So then it is part of your job. Then you have to do it. So it's kind of a different philosophy on learning even. So how do you look at that, Riku?
So I think that you touched a very important topic there. If we think about young people, they are really purpose driven. So the company needs to be really transparent about everything they do, and they want to develop themselves to do better, to be better in their job. So I think that somehow we need to find the intrinsic motivation, and how I can really implement the things that I'm learning into my job and develop myself. Also, they will be a good in the CVs for the future. Of course, you can build the kind of a career on what you have learned and implement it into. But I think that, like Maria, you mentioned that it's quite difficult to find the right time and the place for learning. So, and that's kind of, you need agile tools to kind of the learning material should be easily accessible for everyone in the right time, when you have the moment to study some new things. So in that case, kind of the tools are also really important. But there, of course, people get motivated when there's relevant things to learn. So we need to target the kind of the right content, the right people, in the right time, in the right manner. So, and that when technology, for example, comes in the picture, that okay, people are using their mobile devices all the time, and especially the young people, they don't want to read the PDFs or the text. So the learning materials, I think that they should be delivered in a kind of a interesting way, using videos and audios and stuff like that. But then again,
I also hear you say not everything.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if it's how it's with Basic Fit and with Vopak, but I've seen these learning management systems or these learning portals that have everything, and you get so overwhelmed that you're like, okay, I'll do this later because I'm busy. This is so much. I have to choose, and only choosing what I want to learn is already a process in itself. So how do you cope with that?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. There's a few type of learning. One is the necessary training that you need to execute your role, and it goes with safety, it goes with respect of the rules, and those are, like, you can qualify them as hygiene training, and that's a must to complete your job. And there's also another level of training where it's more towards development and how can you go to your next step or certification, or call it whatever you want. And when it comes to the first one, the base training, it should come as part of your slow integration in your role and your onboarding, and it should be not complicated for people to achieve that. And this is where tools like gamification are quite useful, because if I look at the example of Basic Fit, after 2 days, our people are autonomous in our club.
In 2 days.
In 2 days, and then that's why the training must be very, very efficient and very quick. And we're also looking at training prior to their first day. So really, when they come, they're already prepared. But again, that's what we call really the base training to execute your job. And then when it comes to the next level, this is where there's much more investment that needed to do. And it's not all your people that will go through those type of training. If I especially look at our situation, the turnover is so high that we cannot invest in learning for every single of our people.
Mm. So, and how did you organize that after 2 days somebody can be in charge of a fitness club? Because, well, I would say it's more complicated than that.
Yeah, it's not easy, and to have done it by myself, it's rather stressful. We also have a lot of different support for them. So, for example, we have a 24/7 remote team that can help them if ever they have question. They have access to plenty of tool online if they have question for our staff. They also have their manager on call if ever there's something. But really, the goal is to have them autonomous by a few days.
What do they do in these two days?
Well, without going into too much detail, but they will have an onboarding one-on-one with their manager, and also in some of the country prior to that, they will have received a lot of material or access to even gamification, because we're already using gamification in some of our countries. So that's really helped to prepare them to run their club by themselves. So it's really a 2 days hand in hands with their manager. Also keep in mind that a lot of our staff are already members of our club. So they already have an idea of what's happening. So it's never like a huge surprise. Mm.
They have been in a fitness club before, probably.
Yeah, but they're members usually in their own club. So it's a transition for them.
Yeah. So Hernan, you were talking about the learning culture, which is a beautiful set of words, but also something that's really difficult to create. So how do you, from an HR perspective, work on that learning culture, building on that learning culture?
Well, I think that the learning culture at the end has to do with the culture overall of your company. And definitely you need to work on a curious culture in your company if you want to, again, keep advancing, innovating, exploring new businesses and new areas. We're all forced to do that. So you start in a way at recruitment, you know, of the type of profiles that you bring. Once that you have the people inside, or let's say you arrive to a place and that's the group that you get, I think that there are a few things that you need to look at. One, definitely very important, it's, as we mentioned, rewarding a little bit curiosity, okay? Making sure that curious careers advance, okay, rewarding risk, because I think that in a way curiosity comes together with risk, and risk in a way entails the possibility of getting things wrong once in a while and accepting that.
So it must be possible to make mistakes.
Yeah, definitely.
At the right moments, of course, definitely. Because you also do things at Vopak where no mistakes are allowed.
No,
I can imagine.
But we definitely one. That's not where we experiment. And different to Marie-Françoise, we take 2 years to train a correct operator, because we work with very dangerous products.
Yeah.
But on our lines of business, on how we create commercial contacts, on exploring new products or new markets, we experiment all the time, and that's allowed, and it's good. And most of the times it goes well, and sometimes it doesn't, and we learn from that a lot too.
Mm.
But definitely trying that, it's very important. I think that role modeling, as in any other part of your culture, is very important. So showing a little bit that the risk takers, the people that in a way went, explored, investigated, brought new competencies, went there and had a beautiful career with us. So basically it's around that, and promoting a lot to that, you know, promoting the right stories.
Riku, how does, we all already talked a bit about gamification, how does gamification fit into creating the appetite for learning?
So I think, Hernan, what you mentioned about kind of trying out and testing your limits and failing first, and have a safe place where you can test your limits and what you can do. So games are, or gamification is a really good tool for that kind of you can say fail safely, and then when you succeed, you get kind of the feeling that yes, I was good and you're ready to move forward. I think that what is the best part of gamification, if we gamify the learning content, then the kind of the player or the participant is there in the center. You need to be active, so you need to take part on the learning. You're not just kind of taking a look on the video, or you're not just kind of taking a look on the slideshow, but there's a call to action. You need to reflect on that, how the big change in the change management or kind of the delivery chain is affecting my work. So, and you need to kind of reflect on the big change and okay, how I need to change my behavior to succeed in this kind of changing environments.
Just a question about that. How can you bring gamification to this next level? Because that's far advanced for a type of gamification.
Yeah, but I think that it's more like also making visual the progress, that okay, the choices that you have made in a gamified learning, so it will take you another path, and then you can, there will be new challenges that you have to solve, and then kind of there will be new that's the idea of games, that okay, there will be no more difficult task. But what is the best part of thing is that we are visualizing the progress. So you're kind of progressing, and you're kind of moving to the next level, also in terms of the kind of content and the problem solving needs that there will be.
Yeah. So you can fail. I mean, my son is gaming a lot. I think he dies 50 times a day at least, and he's still alive. That's great, of course. The progress is very important. So the immediate feedback of, all right, okay, I'm level up. Yeah. I've proceeded. I've become better. It's also a bit within the certification, of course, because probably within the certification, it's not working for 2 years and then getting your certificate, but you also have micro steps in between, probably.
Yeah, I'm giving small rewards when you succeed. So that's a really important thing.
Yeah. And it sounds so silly, maybe, a bit childish, but this is how our brain works.
Yeah, it definitely. So actually, what the children, they learn by playing. So game is a kind of a play when you are more creative. So you have there are no everyday rules that are controlling you. When you join a game, so then you maybe are more brave that you wouldn't be. You're testing your limits, like already mentioned. So,
and we had in one of our previous podcasts that we recorded, we had the HR director of the Dutch military. And he said, "Well, we use games a lot because if we go on a mission, first we're going to try out in a game to see if all the things that we've done and what happens if we make decision A or B or C. So we try before we do." And he was really really curious about the fact, why doesn't that happen more within corporations, trying out before you do it?
Yeah.
Because you can save a lot of trouble.
Yeah, definitely.
By doing your biggest mistakes within a game.
Yeah, and we also hear sometimes that okay, games is just a fun way. Everybody wants to have so easygoing thing, and it's a fun way to learn. But games are really not just fun, though. It's hard work. So you need to start all over again. Then you need to make sure that okay, you learn the thing. So it's definitely, I think that the games are really serious learning, and it's not just having fun.
No, and I agree with you. And also, I think it reflects the pace of work these days. And I find the old ways of training, it's very static. We ask people to sit in classroom to just receive the information, and then when it comes to gamification, it really switched the responsibility of, and it's really empowering for people.
And also, if you kind of implement the kind of using, if you participate in a game with your mobile device, and you allow the kind of the players or the participants to answer the challenges, like using your phone is in a creative way, so you can answer with the video, just like kind of using the mobile devices in a way that you are doing after work. So posting stories to the digital social media, and if we implement that into a formal setting, like kind of corporate learning, so that also kind of gives a personalized feeling that hey, this was done for me, and I can use the skills also impress what I have learned in an interesting way.
You're right, and there's also a lot of change management, because often it's associated to play with your phone, and that's what most of the employer don't want their staff to do, is they want to be there as far as we want from their phone. And it's really that shift that any tools or any device is really there to support their learning path, and it's not true anymore that you're just passive when you learn. It's something much, much more active.
Yeah.
All right. I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for all your wisdom and your insights. Marie-Véronique Bernard, she's head of human resources at BasicFit. Hernan Rijn, global human resources director at Vopak. And Rico Alchio, he is CEO at Seppo. And thank you, of course, for listening to the podcast People Power.
Meer afleveringen vind je op peoplepower.radio en jouw favoriete podcast-app.